This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad. Summer's here, and book lovers are looking for good reads to take to the beach, to the park, or to the airport. We at WNIJ have been looking for writers from our neck of the woods, and we'll feature one every Friday this month. Our first author is Ray Paul of Rockford, whose latest novel is Annabelle and the Sandhog. Ray Paul, welcome to the Summer Book Series.
Thank you, Dan.
Your main character, John O'Malley, is the sandhog of the title. This is a slang term for a guy who works deep underground, blasting away rock to form the foundation of tall buildings. When we meet John O'Malley, it's the 1970s, and he's recovering from a stroke at a nursing home in Rockford. He has a son named Mike who holds on to a childhood resentment of his father, who moved little Mike around the country from job to job. And there's a grandson named Tim who's recovering from the recent death of his daughter. Ray Paul, I understand your grandfather was a sandhog.
Exactly.
How much of this book mirrors the history of your own family?
It's very close to it. The grandfather figure, John, is certainly, it gave me a chance to tell a lot of stories about him because I was close to my grandfather whenever I could catch up with him. And my father, Mike, is accurate. And then there's something of me in it, which is... I'm Tim in the book.
And the grandson, is
the grandson, yes. So the historical fascination with this was that job was almost 100% Irish in the East, where my grandfather worked.
And this we're talking about the early 20th century.
Early, correct. Then that changed when black workers came in from the islands and from the plantations. And candidly, there was war in the pits.
Between the two ethnic groups.
Right. And my grandfather got promoted. He was not Irish and he was not black. And he got along great with both groups because he was a very outgoing, very fair type of man. That, I think, had an awful lot to do with his success. And then he just moved around the country from job to job. And I had some great connections with him when he lived in the Midwest, and I was a little bit older. And there's some of the stories about my early driving experiences in his yard and a few other things that I've fit into the book. So,
well, this is a good time for us to hear an excerpt from your book. Feel free to introduce it, and we'll talk after that.
It's the kind of the first connection between the grandson, Tim, trying to work with his grandfather, who is in a nursing home and has a speech problem. And this gives him something to do. In the early 1960s, I bought a big, clunky Ampex magnetic reel tape recorder, ostensibly to capture our son Michael's earliest words and preserve them for posterity. To make full use of the machine, I also provided background to his utterances with tunes from my short closet folk singing and guitar playing career. In reality, I played and sang for my own amazement, but I do have it all on tape, should the rest of the world ever care to listen. Like so many things that temporarily brought excitement into my life, like my baseball hat and postage stamp collections, once the novelty of taping wore off, I found a place for the recorder in a hard-to-reach spot on a high shelf in the spare bedroom closet and let it collect dust. In 1971, after Maria died, my paternal grandparents, John and Florence O'Malley, broke up their household in Montague, Michigan, and moved in with my parents, Mike and Sarah O'Malley, in Rockford, Illinois. Now, as anyone who has ever been around my grandfather knows, he has a lifetime of stories in his head. He loves telling them to any and all willing listeners, especially his grandson. After listening to a few dozen examples in the weeks that followed their arrival, I found the gloom that had surrounded me since Marie's death lifting slightly. I also remembered the old recorder, so I dusted it off and made sure it still worked. Then I hauled it to my parents' home and plugged it into a wall socket in the spare bedroom where my grandparents had settled in. After showing my grandfather how the machine worked, which wasn't easy because of his advanced age and seriously impaired vision from macular degeneration, I handed him the small microphone and said, "Grandpa, please record any story you remember from your life, and I'll type each one up and edit it. Then I'll put them together and make a book. We'll call it The Diary of a Sandhog." He looked up at me and grinned. "You do that for me? I'll do that for you, me, and everyone who reads it. You had quite a life."
With this recorder, Grandpa John narrates his life story, including his courtship of Florence, his days working as a sandhog, and his new friend, a nurse's aide named Annabelle. Annabelle is African-American, and this friendship between a white man and a black woman is out of the ordinary in the nursing home. Again, it's the 1970s. As a writer, What interests you most about the relationship between Annabelle and her sandhog friend?
It's just one more indication that my grandfather would make friends with almost anyone. But in this particular, or at least the way I have written it, he was not too pleased with the attention that he was getting from the other nurse's aides. And Annabelle gave him exactly what he wanted, which was attention. And that, I think, is what started the relationship. And then they just became really good friends.
So your grandfather's nursing aide at the time was also named Annabelle?
Yeah, Annabelle was the name. Yes. Yeah.
This is your sixth book, and it's, if I understand correctly, it is self-published, right?
Yes, five of the six are.
I know enough about the publishing industry to say with confidence that you could have gotten a contract from a smaller, independent publisher for this book. Why did you choose to self-publish?
I kind of like to see my books in print without all the hassle that you get trying to find a publisher. And then when you do, my experience has been is that when you sell a book, you make a lot less money on it than you do if you have a traditional publisher. And if the traditional publisher isn't selling a lot more books, you might just as well self-publish. But the key is, at my age, I want to get to see them in print.
How old are you?
79.
Now, this, as we mentioned, this is a family story told in the form of a memoir, a fictional one, obviously. Earlier, you pointed out the similarities between your family history and that of the O'Malleys. What made you to decide to tell this story as a novel and not a real memoir?
I'm sort of opposed to memoirs. I'm not trying to cover up anything that's gone on in our lives, but I don't think a lot of what goes on in other people's lives is of interest to me, so I don't know why something in my life would necessarily be of interest to them. So this allowed me to pick the good stories, pick the fun things and the relationships. I mean, more than anything, it allowed me to develop characters exactly the way I wanted them to come off, and in that regard, I think I was successful.
Ray Paul is the author of the novel Annabelle and the Sandhog. At WNIJ.org, you can hear him read another excerpt from his book. Ray Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Next Friday, we'll hear the true story of a group of American veterans, average age 72, who traveled to Greece to bring back a World War II U.S. Navy ship. I'm Dan Klefstad.